Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning.
Whether we gather in this sanctuary, in the parking lot, or in our homes, we gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. On that night long ago, the world was waiting and listening, yet unaware that a baby born in a lowly manger would bring light in the darkness and salvation to a lost world. God came to us, and everything changed. Let us pray. Father God, because of the gift of your Son, we can experience true joy. Because of Jesus, we have hope in the midst of these difficult times. Jesus came in a way that was totally unexpected. How amazing that with his first breath and with his last breath, he changed everything. You are our light, our salvation. You alone are worthy of all praise, honor, and worship. We say Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria to God in the highest. Amen. Would you please stand and join us in singing, or humming and singing in your heart, a joyful song of celebration. Let the world sing Gloria. And then two of our most beloved carols that encourage us to proclaim to the world the true meaning of this holy season. Good Christian men, rejoice and go tell it on the mountain. Please stand.
One, two, three, four.
Quietly, all the world is listening. Unafraid that something is about to change, knowing it's the very thing that we need most. And so we wait, and so we cry, salvation fall this holy night. Let the world sing Gloria. The light has come, our death undone in wondrous love. Let the world sing Gloria. The kingdom comes to everyone, our God with us, singing Gloria. Hear the song rising from the heart too long to stand in wonder of the Son who comes to save. See the night disappear in heaven's light. Suddenly the world made right this perfect day. And so we praise, and so we rise, beyond amazed by love divine. Let the world sing Gloria. The light has come, our death undone in wondrous love. Let the world sing Gloria. The kingdom comes to everyone, our God with us, singing Gloria. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Let the world sing Gloria. The light has come, our death undone in wondrous love. Let the world sing Gloria. The kingdom comes to everyone, our God with us, singing Gloria.
Good Christian friends rejoice.
Good Christian friends rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian friends rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. News, news, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill.
Please be seated. Our next song, Emmanuel, is a beautiful song that reminds us that God's love for each of us is personal. The same God who created this magnificent universe and has set each star exactly where it needs to be also knows the number of hairs on your head. He calls us by name. He is our shepherd, our Messiah, and our Savior. He loves us, and he will never, never let us go.
2, 3, and 4. Holy, holy, I will bow before my Lord and King. Hallelujah, you have come to us. You make all things new, Emmanuel.
Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My Shepherd King, you're watching over me, Emmanuel. So amazing, you have named the stars of the deepest night. Still you love me, you have called my name. I will follow you, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. You'll never let me go. My Shepherd King, you're watching over me, Emmanuel. Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My Shepherd King, you're watching over me, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My Shepherd King, you're watching over me, Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel.
Good morning. Hope everyone had a good Christmas. And I'm just wondering, did anybody get clothes for Christmas? Yeah. I can remember my kids opening up Christmas presents that they got from the grandparents, and they'd have a whole stack of them, and it would be like, oh wow, this is great, and then it'd be like, oh, clothes. And you know, but sometimes that's an exciting thing to get. This was one of my Christmas presents. I was very excited about this because I know they're not beautiful. I'm only showing you one. There's a pair. But my rain shoes, my rain boots, got a hole in them, and so I got these from Santa Claus. And I'm excited because they're going to keep my feet dry if it snows, when it snows, or if it rains. I will no longer have wet toes. And our scripture this morning talks about how God is going to clothe us with a garment of salvation and cover us with a robe of righteousness. And I think of that as kind of like, you know, protective clothing that God's going to put on us. He's going to dress us up in something that will protect us. Maybe not from all the cares of the world, but it's a reminder that even when things get difficult, God is there with us. Just like, you know, maybe when you were really little, you had a security blanket that you could wrap yourself up in. God says, you know, don't forget that I'm like this layer of protective clothing. I'm like this security blanket, that I'm going to wrap this around you, and I'm going to bring you safely through whatever it is that you face. So think about that. You may not have gotten a garment of salvation for Christmas, but just remember that the reason we do all of this is because Jesus Christ came, and it is so that God can love us, protect us, wrap us up in that warm security blanket of righteousness. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you love us, that you care for us, that you want us to be safe and secure in your love. So continue to help us to feel loved and secure through all that you do in our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Whether you're in the parking lot at home or in the sanctuary, please join me as we read the Bible verses together. The first reading comes from Isaiah 61, verses 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. All nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And also from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, and in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we come to you with hope. We come to you with a look towards the future. So, Lord, as we consider these words of promise and hope from Isaiah and from Galatians, Lord, be with us in the meditations of our hearts. Be with us as we consider your word. Be with us as we look to the future. Amen. Well, back in September, my husband and I adopted another dog. We already had one pug named Hazel, and then we adopted Doodles. And she had been surrendered to Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue, a group that we support, and she was 9 years old. And we don't know much about her past life. We know that she came to Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue kind of underfed and infested with fleas, and along with another dog from the same owner, and the other dog didn't survive, but Doodles did. And her, you know, they kind of nursed her back to health, fattened her up a little bit, got rid of the fleas, gave her medication so her fur grew back in. And she's a nice little dog. We don't know what she's been through. We're pretty sure she has had several litters of puppies. She hadn't been fixed when we got her. But she's a nice little dog. The things I do know about her is that she has really good teeth for a dog her age. She's a total lap dog. She will catapult herself into any available lap as soon as someone sits down. She absolutely adores my husband. She follows him around, and when he leaves the house, she sits on the back of the love seat looking out the front windows of the house and occasionally sort of, you know, making this little sound. I don't know exactly what you call that, but whimpering. She whimpers until he comes home, and then she is overjoyed to see him again. And her favorite time of the day, breakfast and dinner. So, but she's a good little dog, but she's probably seen some stuff, you know? I think that her life was not so easy before we got her. I will tell you one more thing about her. She loves to wear a sweater. If you say, "Doodle, sweater," she will come running, and then she will want you to put the sweater on her. Well, our scripture this morning comes from the third section of Isaiah. And it's directed at the people. We're not exactly sure if they had already returned from exile when this was written, or they were getting ready to return, or they had been back for a little while. But we know that these are the words of hope that were given to them at that point when they knew that the exile was going to end. And so they hear these words. And as I was, you know, I picked the scripture out in October, and I was looking at them, and I liked the way these seemed to be about celebration. You know, that there was talk about wedding garments and new clothes and rejoicing. It's like, oh, that's where I want to be in January. I want to be rejoicing. But I also think that even more appropriate for this time is the beginning of chapter 61. We heard kind of the end of 61 and the beginning of 62, but the beginning of 61 goes like this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit." And I think that's almost more appropriate, Chess, because I think we are in a time of exile. Okay, we're at home. We're really at home. We're so at home, sometimes we feel like we can't get out of the house. But it is like an exile, because we can't be in the places that we would like to be in the ways that we would like to be there. We're in exile from the big movie theaters. We're in exile from concerts. We're in exile from our loved ones who are in assisted living. We are in exile from singing in church. We are in exile, maybe even from being with the people we love most, because we love them so much, we want to keep them safe. And this is scripture that's saying, you know, you went into this place you didn't want to go to, but you're going to come out. And I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to wrap you in these wedding clothes, and you're going to be transformed. And your relationships are going to be transformed. And I think that's what we need to hear right now, that this will end, that we will be back in the places that we want to be. But I'm also reminded that the people who came back from exile were not the ones that went into exile. These people who went into exile, they were the grandmas and grandpas of these people who are coming back. Generations have gone by. 70 years have passed. And so these folks have never been home, so to speak. They've heard about it from their grandparents and their parents, but they haven't been there. And so they hear about it. And you know what happens in your memory? Like, everything is a little better back there. Everything is a little nicer than you remember. It's like when we go, my husband grew up in Alta Vista, Virginia. And I can remember we'd been married for a couple years. We drove by his old house, the house he grew up in. And he looked at it and he said, "Wow, it's so small." And I looked at it and I thought, how did they raise four kids in that house? But you know, he said, when I was little, it seemed plenty big. And I think we do that with the things we remember, like, oh man, it was so great back then. And then, you know, the people got back to Israel and, well, the temple was in ruins. Things were in disrepair. It was not the Disney World that their parents and grandparents had promised them. It had changed. And when we come out of exile, we will change. The world will have changed. We'll be needing to do some repair work. We'll be needing to fix things up. The economy has changed. The way we see each other has changed. But yet, that is, I think, work that's worth doing. It's not something to fear. It's something to prepare for. That church is not going to be exactly like it was before this all started. But that's okay. We can build from where we are when we're all allowed to take these masks off and sing again. We can rejoice at that, even if we have some work to do to build things back up. Reverend Michael Brown, who serves a church in New York City, wrote about a woman who visited his church, and for years she was a lead soprano with a national touring opera company, and even for a while sang at the Met. But then, she had this amazing voice, as you can imagine. But then she was ill, and she had to have a couple of surgeries and follow-up treatments, and she was in and out of the hospital and had many months of rehab. And so the question people asked her once all of this was passed and over with was, well, you know, now that you're healthy again, when are you going to go back to singing in the opera? And, you know, she told them, she said, it's going to be a long time. You don't just stand up and sing and have your voice be as strong as it once was if you haven't been singing for a while. When your voice is unused for so long, she told them, the vocal cords are like any other muscle. They change and atrophy and grow weaker, she said. So now I have to work at it again. I have a voice coach, and I'm back working with her. And she said, I'm back doing all the exercises that I hadn't done in years because I was singing every night. I'm back into training like an athlete, and I'll have to do that before I'll be ready to do again what once was second nature to me. Things change. And when life returns to normal, whatever normal looks like, it probably won't be like it was when we got hit by this global pandemic. And I thought early on in the beginning that there would be a definite end date, right? There would be a day when we would all take the masks off and we'd say, hallelujah, and we'd go back into the stadium or the restaurant or the auditorium or regular five-day-a-week school. We'd do all of those things. But I realize now it's not going to be like that. It's, you know, going to take some time to get back to something close to where we were. And as I think about that, I think about God promised to the people in Isaiah about how when they come back, well, even though they find ruins, he's going to be there. He's going to wrap them up in this clothing, like the kind of clothing that brides and grooms wear, that they're going to be transformed. But you know, the thing about it is, yes, God will wrap us up in that robe, that clothing. We have to accept that garment as a gift. Right? We can't just say, well, you know, fine, we're back to what we were doing. I don't really need God in the midst of all this. We have to accept that all that we are was created by God, and that we need God in the midst of all of this if we want to be strengthened and supported by God. It's a choice. One of the things I've struggled with is that a lot of times in Psalms and Proverbs and some of the other scripture, it talks about fear of the Lord. And I think, well, you know, God loves us. Why should we be in fear? But Proverbs says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you look closely at many of the Psalms, you start to see that those who fear the Lord don't need to fear anything else. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of hope, as strange as that sounds. Fearing the Lord is recognizing the amazing power of God to raise up mountains, as Jackie was talking about, you know, put the stars across the sky, to fill space with the planets, to fill the oceans with water. It's God's power to do all of those things, and that is a fearful and awesome power. And the good news is that God can do all of those things, but we can't. We can't, and yet the other side of that coin is no one else, no human being has power over us. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist and philosopher and writer and a survivor of the Nazi death camps. And he was in this terrible situation. And he writes about how the Nazis, even with all of their power, they could not take hope away from him. He remembers how living in the concentration camp, there were still men who would go among the huts and offer comfort to others, who would even offer their last piece of bread, even though they themselves were starving. And he saw that as evidence that the one human freedom, the one earthly power that no one can take away, is the freedom to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. No one can take away our ability to choose the good and the right. And that's something I have to remind myself of. I was in Martin's the other day, and there was, in the produce section, and there was this man standing by the tomatoes with no mask on, yelling into his phone. Not because he was angry, but just, I think, because he didn't know. He was hard of hearing, so he was just yelling into his phone. And part of me wanted to go over there and shake him and say, put your mask on, but I didn't want to get that close to him. You know, it sort of fired my inner rage. Like, you know, why is he not wearing a mask? Why is he speaking so loudly? Why is he standing there in the midst of all of us? And, well, I guess the thing is, I needed to choose a different attitude. I mean, it's easy to fall into that, oh, why can't you just be more like me? But we can choose how we respond, how we react. We can choose how we're going to be. And the thing is, if we choose to go the way that God wants us to go, God has a new name for us. That's part of what, you know, at the beginning of chapter 62, God says, I will rename you. And it doesn't say what your name is going to be. God is going to rename you. And I think God can choose the name that we get. That name could be Beloved. That name could be Hopeful. That name could be Adopted into God's family. Scripture says, you will be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. I don't feel like a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, but it's a reminder that we are precious to God, that we will get this new name. We will be adopted, if we choose, into the family of God. But we've got to choose. Now, I started out talking about my dog. Doodles is the fifth rescue dog we've had. And we know that these dogs come to us are usually older. They come from various circumstances. They're quirky dogs. They've seen some stuff. We had one dog, Coco, who was terrified of brooms. And I always wondered what that was about. And she considered the vacuum cleaner her mortal enemy. But I think we're really like these quirky dogs. We've seen some stuff. We've been through some things. But we can be fearless in the face of all of that because God calls us beloved and treats us as precious and considers us worthy of adoption and is willing to be Abba, Father, to us. Those people were in exile. And God brought them home to a home they'd never seen before. And God will bring us home. It'll be a different place than the one we remember. But God will be with us. And no one can take that away from us. Amen. Well, I am thankful for many people, including Julie Ritchie, who organized the Bum Post Office this year, and she is thankful for everyone who helped deliver the mail to various folks and picked up their Christmas cards, so thank you. Thankful for all of those people who make it possible for us to be here and also online. And also thankful for everyone who made our Christmas Eve service come together. Let us pray. Creator God, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have done for us, for calling us your own, and for claiming us. Lord, I thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us as a church, blessed us as individuals. Lord, continue to help us to work to share your glory with the world. In the name of your Son, I pray. Amen. Well, a couple of announcements for you. We are going to take part in the Green Hanger Project. So that takes gently used clothing that's appropriate for middle or high school age folks, and as well as new socks and undies and personal care products. So, and then those will be distributed to kids who are in need of those items. So if you're cleaning out your closet and you have some age-appropriate things for people that age or some personal care items, please bring them by the church or get them to Lori Mooney. And Cindy wants you to remember that in order to be counted as part of your 2020 gifts, you have to have things postmarked by December 31st. They don't have to get to us, which is good if your mail has been like my mail, but they do have to be postmarked by December 31st to be counted as a 2020 donation. And I'm going to check and see. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? All right. Well, I know that we have folks that are, I guess there's like, nine people on New Hope United Methodist Church's prayer list who have been affected by COVID. So we want to keep all of those people in our prayers, all of those in our community. And of course, Susan and Lloyd Meadows, we continue to pray for them. And I noticed that Tom Lee is on the prayer list, the former pastor here. Want to keep him in our prayers also. So let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for bringing us together in the ways that we can gather in this time. Lord, we give you thanks that there is hope before us. We give you thanks for all of those people who worked to create a vaccine. And we pray that it will go out in an orderly and swift process. Lord, continue to be with those who are struggling, whether they're having economic struggles or emotional struggles, or if they are dealing with issues of health. We pray for those folks and ask that you pour out healing upon them, that you give us all the light of hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us. Help us to choose what is good. Help us to feel that security that you want to wrap us in so that we can come out of this place and into a new day, a day when things feel a little more normal. Gracious God, continue to help us to serve one another. We pray for our food pantry neighbors, especially those who are having health issues right now. We pray for them. And we give you thanks for all of those who make it possible that we can hand out sustenance for the body. Lord, help us also to share sustenance for the soul. Continue to keep us safe and bring us to that new day when hope dawns and we can say, we have come out on the other side. In the name of Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us stand as we're able, and we are going to sing Joy to the World. Or we're going to hum if we're here in the sanctuary. May the joy of the Lord be yours. May you go forth in hope. May you go to live out the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.